Corinne Bailey Ray, and you're listening to the Heart Speaks in Whispers podcast. Throughout the series, I'm taking you on a journey through the themes and personal experiences that came together to form the songs on my record, The Heart Speaks in Whispers. Nature, the body, the subconscious, the healing power of music, the value of being present, and the subject we're going to be exploring in this episode, intuition. In the first few pages of Malcolm Gladwell's best-selling book Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, the author makes a bold statement. He writes, "The first task of Blink is to convince you of a simple fact. Decisions made very quickly can be every bit as good as decisions made cautiously and deliberately. The book is about why it's important to have confidence to trust our own instincts. Those gut feelings, a perceived sense of certainty that we've all felt a million times, sometimes very visceral feelings that we can't explain away. Although studies show that maybe we can. There are actually over 100 million brain cells in your gut. That's why you'll sometimes hear the stomach being referred to as a second brain or the little brain. While it's not equipped to take on the complex process of our actual brains, all the tiny neurons living in our stomachs help it to communicate with the brain via the vagus nerves, giving it control over our emotions and intuition. I would consider myself to be an instinctive person. Trying to understand your inner voice and trying to understand what's going on inside has been a really important process for me over the last few years and making this record. Authenticity is really important to me. You know, what is it that I'm trying to say? How do I actually feel? What are the things that are going to be good for me? And how can I get away from the sort of rational thoughts that are around where sometimes there's too much consideration of what other people want from you or what other people need from you? In my case, I think sometimes I'm not aware enough of what I want and what I need. When you make music in a commercial context, there's always different voices, there's always different people pulling you in different directions and advising you and telling you to write in this way or work with this person. And on this record, I've really felt like it's been important for me to just listen to my inner voice and write the music I've wanted to write. There are lots of songs on the record that talk about instinct and refer to instinct. There's a song called The Skies Will Break, which is the first song on the record, and it talks about how the heart speaks in whispers and you will know. It repeats that a few times at the end of the song, you will know, you will know, you will know. When people ask you questions and say, well, how will I be sure of this or that, or how do you know when it's the right relationship? I just feel like in those situations, if it's the right thing, then you just have a sense of certainty. So that idea of you will know comes through really strongly. I also wrote songs that I felt were about how lots of experiences can happen to you, and that helps to build up your instinctive understanding of the world and how there's a lot of value in memory. Here in the twilight of one endless summer, you got me waiting like a teenage girl. Folded in my new dress, the There's a song called Hey, I Won't Break Your Heart, where it talks about folded in my new dress, the memories, and the idea that everything you've been through is sort of on you, it's on your person, it's inescapable. Part of our education, certainly in the UK, is about being academic, taking on received wisdom and almost ignoring the hunches and the instincts and the feelings that you have. It's seen as a bit of a sign of sophistication, I think, in the UK, if you can be really rational, almost to the exclusion of your feelings. I wanted to speak with someone who has a really good understanding of these two separate ideas of instinct and feeling and emotion versus received thought and knowledge.
If we think about how important it is to trust our instincts, there's good reason to think that actually we shouldn't be too quick to trust our instincts.
Philosopher Brennan Jacoby.
If we understand our instincts as matters of perception, you know, there's good reason that really came out during the scientific revolution that our senses, you know, can be wrong. When you look up at the sky, it looks like the sun is going around us, but as Copernicus showed, it's the other way around. So if our intuition or the thing that we are talking about trusting is our perception, then we shouldn't always do that. And actually our sort of what we call our gut instinct can be off sometimes as well. At the same time, if we were to doubt our deepest parts of ourselves, that sort of just initial gut feeling that we have, we can give up some power. You know, we can sort of go, okay, well, then I'm gonna always sort of check everything with someone else. I'm never going to just go with what I think. I'm going to always act based on what I've read somewhere else or what someone else has said. We can sort of forfeit our own voice in a way which is disempowering. And that can be quite detrimental. We can also cultivate our instincts. If I, for example, think that I'm a too trusting person, then I could do some careful reflection and think about, okay, well, when really should I trust someone else? When is it better for me not to trust? And when I get a bit of a grasp on that, you know, over time, what I might call my sort of gut instinct about who's trustworthy and not and when I should trust can be formed. So while I wouldn't want to say that we should always trust our instincts, I think it is really critical for us to trust ourselves.
Someone who knows all about fine-tuning our instincts is American author and speaker Scott Ginsberg, who has been conducting an interesting social experiment for over a decade.
My experiment started exactly 5,657 days ago today. And if you do the math, it's about 16 years. And it was initially just a quirky, fun thing that I did at university, but it turned out to be really effective. If you wear a name tag every single day, people will start saying hello to you. And I had no idea it would work so well, but before I knew it, everybody on campus kind of knew who I was. And this is before social media really existed. So it was 100% grassroots, you know, word of mouth. And so, yeah, I kept doing it, even though it was kind of awkward and had a lot of people giving me strange looks, but I stuck with it for that first year as an experiment. And it was so effective that I decided to ultimately write a book about it my senior year of college. And then when I published the book, that actually went viral before viral was viral, if that makes sense. And yeah, it just sort of launched my career as a writer and a public speaker and an artist and a publisher. And that's what I've been doing every day for 16 years.
So what was the thing that inspired you to first put on a name tag?
I didn't have any friends.
Really? Is that true?
It's very true. One of the things that was difficult for me in college was connecting with people because I never like was a partier. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do drugs. That just sort of wasn't my thing. So I alienated myself by being sober all the time. And I needed to find another way to connect with people on a human personal level that didn't involve what everybody else was doing that kind of made me stand out.
That's a really interesting thing that you're in a culture where it's really normal to do all those things and you alienated yourself. I like the way that you've turned it around.
Right.
So how has your experiment changed your outlook on the world and the social interactions that you have with people?
In so many ways, it's changed it. You know, I've tried to calculate how many people I've actually interacted with my name tag, and I don't have an answer, but it might be close to 100,000. And these are just conversations I've had, some short, some longer, some have become good friends of mine, but just interactions that I've had because of wearing this little sticker over the years, it's really changed my perspective on a couple things. And I would say the first is just how friendly and how sociable and how longing people are to connect with each other. They just need an opening. They need a reason. They need someone to take that first step, because people don't want to do that. But once they see an opening, like, oh, there's a name tag. His name must be Scott. I'm going to say hello, or I'm going to ask him a question, or I'm going to point at it and just laugh and see what he does. Like, people take the bait, so to speak. And I know it creates this moment that would have never existed in any other way. So I think that's the first thing I learned is just how much of a longing we have for this sense of connection. And we're just waiting for somebody to do something for that first step. Probably the biggest change is with my own personality. Wearing a name tag has made me a much more honest person, because I'm accountable with everything I do. And not that I was like a super honest, you know, compulsive lying person before I started wearing a name tag, but I did notice immediately, and still to this day, like, I really have a hard time lying to people now and pretending, because my name is right there. So I kind of have to be honest about just about everything I do, because if I'm not, I'm accountable.
This particular conversation that we're having on this podcast I'm doing is about instinct and intuition. And I was really grateful when I was reading your work that you are quite clear about the difference between those two words, which I think I'm guilty of using in an interchangeable way. But you say that instinct is from the Latin word instinctus, which means impulse. It's a sort of biological thing. And intuition is from intuito, which is about consideration. And that comes from accumulated experience. And I wonder how your sort of accumulation of experiences with strangers, how that's managed to help you almost sort of predict how a particular person's going to be with you in any way.
Yeah, it is one of the spookiest parts of my life. Over 16 years, I have developed something called the name tag sense. It's like my sixth sense. And it's exactly like the movie with Bruce Willis, when the kid said, "I see dead people." So that's like me, except I see friendly people. And it is the strangest thing, but like a half a second before somebody interacts with me, maybe they say hello, maybe they ask a question, maybe they just wave. But before they do it, I literally feel in my body, usually the back of my neck or in my stomach, I can feel it about to happen.
That's incredible.
It is the craziest thing, but that's only because it's happened 100,000 times. And I know when it's going to happen. I know who's going to say what. Like, based on the interaction, for example, if there is a group of young men that are between, I don't know, maybe 16 to 22, sort of that late high school, college age, if they're in a group together and they walk past, I guarantee you one of them will say some kind of joke. But if it's a guy and a girl walking alone, they won't say a thing. And the reason is because the guy wants to look cool for his buddies and make fun of the dorky guy wearing the name tag. But with his girl, he doesn't want to do that. So there's just one example, but there's a million of them. Like, older women, only older women will come up to me and say like, "Oh, sweetheart, do you wear that name tag in case you get lost?"
Oh.
Which is hilarious and adorable and oftentimes very accurate, because I have no sense of direction.
Yeah.
but yeah, so every day these little moments happen and I know who's going to say what. And unfortunately, it's so fast that I don't have time to like jab my wife in the ribs and say, "Here, this guy's about to say something, watch this." Like, no, it just happens. But what's interesting is the instinct is the feeling I get in my body, because I think that's the biological way that instinct works. But the intuition, that's a different thing. And what I learned is once people engage with me, it's almost like a Rorschach test based on the way that they respond to me. So if I see someone looking at my name tag, they don't understand it and they're very confused and they're like trying to help me save face, I can tell that they're probably a more conservative person. But if somebody comes right up to me, and like this actually happens, you'd be surprised. People violate my personal space and walk right up to me and like poke my name tag on my chest.
That's so strange. That's such a strange response.
And here's what's even stranger. Only women do it.
Really?
And usually really attractive women, which is great. But I just think it's fascinating that men never touch me. They never violate my personal space, but women do it all the time. You know, there's a lot of different theories that I've been trying to learn, and I've asked professors of gender studies how this works. And it's a power issue. It's this particular woman asserting her sexual power. Well, I think there's a lot of different answers for it, but it's happened thousands of times in the exact same way, and it is so fascinating to me.
I think that's a really interesting point. I love that it's the idea of a sort of accumulation of our experiences. So it's not just that word instinct, which is from that the idea of an impulse, a biological response, but that intuition is about a collection of experiences that we've got, you know, almost sort of carry them in our hearts, and that we can think through and consider these experiences and we can apply them to our lives.
I think for anybody who wants to grow their instinct and develop their intuition, what they need to do is just practice and have something that they can do on a regular basis that becomes sort of their filter for understanding the world. For me, it's a name tag, but I think anybody can run these little experiments and just watch the interactions and observations, and they'll start to develop that muscle of intuition and instinct, and it'll only grow.
Speaks in whispers on the heart. Speaks in whispers.
We have so many tools as people to help us understand the world, and instinct is a really important tool in that sense. Trusting our feelings and processing our experiences can all really help us in terms of knowing what to do, in terms of knowing how to live. I've found that to be a really important thing to me, that there are so many different ways that we can make decisions in life and so many different ways that we can really tune into what's happening in our inner selves. I wonder what experiments we can do in our own lives to sharpen up our natural sense of intuition and instinct. Sky.